We want to get back to our live guest and talk a little bit more about Squonk Opera and community history.
We should remind people that we're here with Jackie Dempsey, Steve O'Hearn, Buzz Miller, all of Squonk Opera. And we're talking about history and culture and putting it on the stage and with music and with multimedia and with archival video and film and with oral history.
And I think Jackie's going to set up the next clip, speaking of women and Pittsburgh, and she's going to set up the next interview we're going to hear.
Yeah, so the next interview is a little girl named Arwen. I think she's 7 years old, was actually one of my piano students in Pittsburgh. And she actually sets up a scene in the show where we have a very beautiful video that Buzz made of old photographs, of vintage photographs floating by. So she talks a bit about her experience of history.
And I have a lot of playdates with her. One time I had a playdate with her, I can't remember the day or how many weeks ago or anything it was ago, but all I remember is when we played, their house is about 200 years old, but luckily it's still there. And we thought maybe someone above me had lived there, so we started searching around to see if we could find anything. And we did find a few things. We found like little crystal thingy, and we found marbles, like nice smooth marbles. We found a few things. And Rose had a nice book, and she could write anything she'd like in it. And we wrote it, and we drew pictures showing the things we had found, so we would keep track of them. And we found a little like table-like thing, and we put the things under it, so it keeps them safe. And we kept track of them. We wrote it down on paper, or at least I thought of it, the paper as helping us to keep track of them so we would know if we lost something or anything. That's for sure.
And that's the story. So she's just talking there about the kind of intimate little moments that really make up our lives, and kind of a welcome tonic to celebrity culture and TV, and it's a very beautiful little story she tells.
One thing I wanted to mention is that all the interviewees in our show don't get a subtitle, you know, saying who they are in life or even their name. They're mentioned in the printed program, but we made the conscious choice not to, you know, put up people's titles. We treat everyone the same as the voice of their community. Whether they be a grade school kid or the mayor or the chief of police or something like that, or even some local celebrity.
How do you select them?
Usually they're kind of chosen by the presenters. Again, Kim and Pat at the University of Albany PAC picked a bunch of people, looking for people who could tell a story and not get too nervous on camera. But they were from all different ages and economic groups and genders and races.
In Pittsburgh, they were mostly my family and friends.
Always a good place to start.
Yeah, we weren't sure what we were after in Pittsburgh, but now that we know what we want out of the interviews and what slots we need to fill as transitions from the things that are already there on the template, we have pointed questions.
But what's amazing is how much the show and the individual scenes change by whatever interview sets them up or closes the scene. So the whole tone of a scene can change with a different interview.
Yeah, it makes it very organic.
Yeah.
I want you to set up the next piece, which is titled Tell a City. Jackie, you want to do that, or who wants to do that?
Steve, why don't you tell them a little bit about it, and then I'll tell them what the lyrics are.
Okay. It's sort of about the opposite of what the whole show is about. And again, we're dealing with a bunch of kind of contradictions. And so it's about the kind of loss of sense of place and local awareness when we are embedded in celebrity culture and mass media. And so it's kind of about what it's like to watch TV, to flip channels on TV, and kind of the inherent loneliness and unconnection, lack of connection to our immediate world that we have when we're on a cell phone to California or watching a webcam broadcast from Tokyo. That kind of we aren't anywhere anymore. We're just kind of floating.
And that lack of sense of place sort of was lost a good while ago, I guess, or was, you know, the underpinnings of that happened when, you know, we stopped gathering around the hearth and fireplace and, you know, sitting out on the porch on the summer days and, you know, went inside and watched TV with the air conditioner on.
And the lyrics, Christina sings, "This is no place, floating in space. Receive, relay, between worlds, the space between. Pick up signal, tell a city, connect the space between, some nowhere place between."
And it rolls into a roaring montage of channel flipping, essentially broken into segments. So it goes into this kind of wildly frenetic overabundance of information to the point where it's just rhythmic and it has no content.
Now, is that what you're describing, Steve? Is that place specific or is that something that's kind of a core piece of the show?
That's a core piece of the show. So that isn't place specific. That speaks about us in American culture, I think.
But it's set up by a local voice in the interview that leads into Telecity.
So let's listen and also go into a few seconds of the piece that follows it. We watched that up a little. It was on cue. We didn't have continuous play. Ah, so we lost the effect. I'm sorry.
The dramatic
people.
Rise.
We're sorry, but you got
the
point.
They'll have to come to the show then to get the real effect.
We're sorry. Oh, my. So the loss of community is the theme there, or the changing nature of our communities. And what other themes do you deal with in your pieces?
We deal with the idea of team spirit and rivalry. We do a kind of a funny fashion show where we have Steve as a fashion model comes out in a T-shirt for the place that where we are. And
I do cut a fine figure.
Oh, yes, he does. Quite so.
Must be interesting. How do you choose which T-shirt?
We have a T-shirt that represents Albany the Opera, but then we ask for the local rivalry, who is the enemy T-shirt? And we've been asking a lot of questions here in Albany about who's in Pittsburgh. We have some clear enemies, Cleveland. and so we've been asking a lot of questions. Who is the big rival of Albany in sports?
Oh, sports.
Oh, sports. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of the few ways we still show civic pride and animosity.
I don't know if we have it. This is sort of a government.
Right.
Well, we were going. Go ahead, Buzz.
Out of the interviews, I got a couple of different answers. One person was saying, on the high school level, Albany versus Troy. And then on a collegiate level, there's a couple of different answers depending on what sport, you know, we're talking about with University of Albany. We got an interesting story about this rivalry in the crew world, the varsity crew team from U of Albany was racing RPI, and they both wound up taking on water, and the boats sank. But I think Albany still crossed the finish line somehow.
Oh.
But then also another rivalry story a couple of people have mentioned, actually, is the Yankees-Red Sox, and being that, you know, Albany's sort of in between the two areas, there's heated arguments and things come to fisticuffs sometimes, I suppose.
And the Giants and the Bills. Mm-hmm.
See, when you say that, I immediately thought of upstate, downstate as sort of the boundary between upstate and downstate. And this is where representatives from the urban areas, or particularly the downstate urban areas and the rural Adirondack, Catskills, you know, Finger Lakes areas come together. And that's where they struggle between the issues that separate the two. And there really is a sort of a cultural difference between upstate and downstate that persists. So I don't think of sports. I think of those differences.
I wanted to ask before we finish up, obviously they might be able to go on with quite a list, but I was interested to find out what some of their cultural influences and inspirations are, whether they be musical or literary or whatever, because I find that their process is so fascinating, and it seems like they've got a lot going on behind the scenes in their own minds, too.
Who wants to take that up?
Whoever.
I think we Jackie and I were very much inspired by some of the kind of multimedia collaborators of the 80s and 90s, like Robert Wilson's collaborations with Philip Glassler's and Laurie Anderson and Talking Heads.
Meredith Monk.
Brian Eno.
And some of the more comic things like Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular show, I think this was kind of partly inspired by video documentarian installation art or broadcast art. That this is a show we couldn't have done 25 years ago. It's partly because the technologies now are accessible for us to go out and incorporate documentation from a place quickly and efficiently and beautifully. And Buzz's amazing talents, of course.
And I just wanted to say real quickly that I just started reading Virginia Woolf's The Waves and found that that's very, I feel that our work is similar in a way that she sets up these beautiful interludes, sort of abstract interludes, and then contrasting with everyday life, private moments. And so that's what we're doing in the show.
Yes, from watching video and listening to the music. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to set up that wonderful final piece, which is celebratory and yet poking holes at our communities and our
but
notion.
Before we set that up, I just want to quickly remind people they can find out all kinds of information at squonkopera.com. That's S-Q-U-O-N-K or www.albany.edu/PAC for dates of the performance in April and lots of links to background information. So that's the boilerplate. Let's get to the good stuff.
So set up this last piece, and then we'll go out on this piece.
So this last piece on the CD is called Right Here, but in the show, it will actually be called Planet Albany. So the lyrics, every time you hear her say this place, she'll be singing Albany. And so it's a big, bombastic, ridiculous finale.
And a giant Planet Albany will roll toward stage. A 10-foot ball with Albany painted on it will roll toward stage, and angels will fly above it.
The sun and the moon will revolve around Albany.
Right. So, and of course, one of the things with a show like this is you have to tread the line with kind of the rah-rah go kind of spirit, which is wonderful in some ways and horrifying in others. So we embrace it, and there you go.
And I wish we had more time, but on that note, we're going to go out with that piece.
And that was from the Squonk Opera. We've been delighted this morning to have the team in our studios live. They're going to be continuing to do the research for the Albany show that will take place in April. And again, that information is squonkopera.org for information about the troupe, and www.albany.edu/PAC for information about the April event, dates, times, and again, information on Squonk Opera. And of course, we'll have this on the Talking History website, talkinghistory.org, as well. We hope you'll join us for Talking History again next week at 10 o'clock, heard every week as part of Capital District Progressive Radio.